You're listening to Witch Wednesdays, a semi-weekly podcast source for all things witchcraft in the modern world. Join your host, Steph, on Wednesday mornings to chat about seasons, Sabbats, and all new witchcraft topics to help you make your life more magical. Welcome back to Witch Wednesdays. I'm Steph, and you are listening to this month's monthly magic episode for the month of April, which will be starting next Monday. I am excited to move into April. I have had a lot of stuff going on in February and March, and I will have updates about that at the end of this episode. So let's jump straight into the magic and what is going on this month. The name April comes from the old Roman name for it, Aprilis, which is generally thought to be derived from aperio, which is a Latin verb meaning to open. And that is like in the sense that the earth is opening up at this time and flowering. The universal month number for April is 3. And 3 is generally a like warm and social energy, but with this month, there is a caution about not overdoing anything in the month of April. And the tarot card for the month is the Hangman. And the Hangman is the card of sacrifices and being vulnerable. And it's an important card because it is necessary for finding a new way of looking at things. And I think possibly part of the reason for this universal number not being like as warm and social and more of a cautionary number this month is because we start the month with the first quarter moon in Capricorn, which is not a particularly carefree energy, and because we start the month in Mercury retrograde. So because of all of those things, which we'll get into in a little bit, it makes it a more cautious month. Some of the correspondences associated with this month, the crystals are beryl, diamond, and moonstone. The animals are the goat, sheep, falcon, and hawk. The flowers are the sweet pea and the daisy. And some of the deities associated with the month are Aries, the Morrigan, Ra, and Maka. So the sun currently is in Aries, and it will remain there until April 19th. Aries is a fixed fire sign. It is full of passion and vitality. But like I said, with the moon right now, with the first quarter moon in Capricorn, it is not as much of that passionate, vital energy. But we do get the new moon in Aries on the 8th. And that is also the first solar eclipse of the year. It is a total eclipse that is going to last for about 4.5 minutes. And magically, eclipses have the potential to be very powerful. As I mentioned in previous episodes, when it comes to lunar eclipse, same with this eclipse, it's that it's up to you whether or not you want to work with that energy. Some people find it very powerful and chaotic and they don't like working with any kind of eclipse energy, and some people love it. So completely up to you and how you are feeling about it. It's just a extra powerful bonus energy time. So any magical workings that you are doing during this time, it's kind of like a bonus that you get extra energy behind them. So if there's something that's particularly challenging and you need a little more help with it, then this might be a good time to do that because you're going to get that extra boost of power and energy behind it. But again, that is all about using your own judgment and figuring out if that is right for you. But you can also use it as time just to set intentions, manifestations. If you want to do a particular ritual or ceremony to work with sun or lunar energy, you could do that during those 4.5 minutes. You can also do some shadow work during that time or during that day, because that is what it is, a giant shadow. And you could also just use it to connect with nature, because that is a natural phenomenon. It is going to enhance all of the Earth's natural energies that are going on at that time. So if you need to connect with nature in that way, lots of different ways that you can use that time. After that, we have the second quarter moon in Cancer, and that is on the 15th of April. So that will be a few days of moodiness to be particularly aware of when you are dealing with others. And I will get to that in just a minute when we talk about Mercury retrograde. And then finally, we have the full moon on the 23rd in Scorpio. So that will be sort of a rise of passions time. And that is not an April Fool's joke. It does start a Mercury retrograde on the 1st of April, and it runs until the 25th. So the entire month is going to be a little bit chaotic, but next month should run more smoothly. Now, when it comes to Mercury retrograde, it is not the time to blame all of your issues on Mercury retrograde. You do have to take some responsibility for your own actions. But you need to be aware that it's happening and just be able to take some precautions. It's generally a time that is a little bit chaotic, especially for communications and technology. When you combine those, it's really tough. So before you jump down your friend or your partner's throat for something that you think that they did or that they forgot about, you might want to make sure that it's not a miscommunication issue first. Say that you were meeting your friend and she ends up being an hour late and you're starting to get mad. You might want to check that you have the right date and time and that you communicated that clearly to them, because it might not be their fault. So just be sure to be aware of that happening and take particular precautions. So double check all of your work, especially on the computer. It is a time for sending off emails before they're ready and for computers just having malfunctions. For example, I know that next week on the 4th, I am recording a podcast episode with Julia. Julia's been on the podcast before to talk about her book, Witchcraft Cocktails, and it's one of my favorites. But she has a new book about moon magic, and we're going to chat about that. And since I already know that this is during Mercury retrograde, I'm going to sign on early. I'm going to make sure that everything is working and to check everything earlier during the day. And I am going to have a backup plan. So if it doesn't work on that day, that we have another day to record and schedule. And then even if I am going to schedule that episode for a full week after that, I am not going to wait until the last minute to do it. I am going to try scheduling that, having backups, getting everything ready well before the date of publishing, because I just know that it's communication, it's technology, all of those things are going to have a rough time during Mercury retrograde. So I want to make sure that I take all of the precautions and not just blame that for my problems and not be able to get anything done. You still do need to function, and you've got 25 days of this. So it's just about being aware and being prepared ahead of time. So, like I said, April 1st is also April Fool's Day. And there are a few interesting ideas about where April Fool's Day might have come from. We can't be certain because there's records all over the place in different cultures of this idea of playing pranks on people on the 1st. And it might have something to do with some ancient spring celebrations that were going on. The 1st, there used to be a festival called Veneralia in ancient Rome. And this was the holiday of Venus, or to the Greeks, that's Aphrodite, who is the goddess of love and death and sexuality and waters. And it is a holiday for women to ask this goddess for help with like good fortune, love, birth, joy. And this goddess is the reminder of like love ruling over logic. So it was a time to for women to ask their lovers to do like senseless errands and like tasks in order to prove their devotion to the woman. So that might be one of the places where April Fool's Day's pranks originated because they were asking them to do completely foolish things just to prove how much they loved them. There is also maybe the idea of Hilaria, also in ancient Rome, and that was celebrated at the end of March. And I mentioned that in the last episode, involved people dressing up in disguises and like mocking their fellow citizens. So that might have been where that comes from. But there are a lot of other ideas, sort of in like British history, 18th century, in Scotland. There was the idea of hunting the gawk, Gowk. So that is another one where people were sent on these ridiculous errands. And then they were followed around. It was like involving playing pranks on people, especially like pinning fake donkey tails on them or kick me signs and things like that. So that is part of the lore and history of this April Fool's Day. So lots of ideas of where this could have come from, but nothing so solidified into what we know as April 1st until like the 20th century. Next, we have the tomb sweeping day in China called the Qingming Festival. This year it's on April 4th. It generally falls between the 4th and the 6th because it occurs about 15 days after the March equinox. And in China, this is a day of paying respect to one's ancestors. So it's exactly what it sounds like, tomb sweeping day, to clearing out the tombs and grave sites of their ancestors and to make these ritual offerings of traditional foods and dishes and burnings, just as reverence to their ancestors in Chinese culture. Goes back more than 2,500 years. It's changed, of course, over the years, but it is a long-standing tradition. Next, on April 13th, we have the ancient Roman festival of Cerealia. The goddess of crops was called Ceres, and that is where we get the name cereal from. So she gave us our first foods and taught all about agriculture. So she was celebrated generally by farmers who would walk or dance around their fields with torches on this day in honor of Ceres. So if you are particularly green witch inclined, hearth witch, kitchen witch, this might be a good day to tap into that energy and work with this particular goddess to bless your kitchen magic and your garden magic that would be coming up in this season as we're starting to plant things and maybe some things are growing. Next, we have April 22nd, which is the festival of Ishtar, a Babylonian celebration. And the Ishtar is the Babylonian goddess, the star, which is a derivation of Inanna, the Sumerian goddess of heaven. So she was a very sexual deity, all about fertility, and was like the life of the people. And she actually appears in the Bible as Ashtoreth and Asherah. And she was a major divinity before any of the more patriarchal gods appeared. Ishtar was the soul of the people and like the essence of their power, their life, their love. So I love the female goddesses, but I think it's also interesting that the 22nd is also the day that we now celebrate Earth Day. So interesting that those line up like that, which brings me to the next one, which is Earth Day. And similarly, we also have Arbor Day on the 26th. So Earth Day, there's usually a lot of things going on as far as conserving energy. There might be hours where you are to just turn off all of the energy in your house, turn off all the lights to save power. It's a day of just walking, not using your car or transport, just trying to walk everywhere, just being out in nature, maybe planting a garden, just generally being aware of the earth and the earth's resources. And then Arbor Day is specifically a day to plant trees, but they are very related, and that goes along with the theme of the whole month. It's Earth Month. And we are definitely killing our environment. So it is a good day. We can only, do so much. It is really on governments and corporations that need to do the work, so don't feel bad. They try to put everything on us as individuals and try to make us feel bad. Like if you do need to get to work that day and you do need to use your car, don't feel bad. There's only so much that we can do as individuals. The most important thing is to vote and vote for with your dollars. That's my PSA this month on protecting the earth. But I think everyone that's listening, which is, we know how important that is and how connected we are to the earth and our environment and how important it is to take care of it. So a little, you know, bonus, tap into that energy on Earth Day and just do whatever it is that you can for that day. And then we get to the end of the month with April 30th and then moving into May 1st. And I do want to talk a little bit about Beltane and Beltane Eve because the May Magic episode will be going live right on May 1st. So I want you to have a little bit of preparation before Beltane. First, we have April 30th, Beltane Eve, which is also the date of Walpurgisnacht. And that is a German word, Walpurgisnacht. And it's a traditional spring festival that is celebrated in parts of Central and Northern Europe, particularly Germany, Estonia, Czech Republic, Finland, Sweden. It's on April 30th, which is the eve of the feast day of Saint Walpurga, an 8th century Christian missionary from England who was canonized on May 1st. The origins of Walpurgisnacht are rooted in pagan traditions and folklore because it's often associated with the arrival of spring and the changing of seasons, and the celebration includes bonfires, dancing, singing, and other festivities. And particularly in German folklore, Walpurgisnacht is sometimes considered a witch's Sabbath, similar to how Samhain is. According to legend, witches were believed to gather on this night to hold meetings and perform rituals. And then this association with witches has led to lots of cultural interpretations of what goes on this day. But specifically nowadays, it is celebrated as a cultural and like traditional event. Lots of community gatherings, music performances, outdoor activities, at like a whole springtime atmosphere. So it's much more cultural in that way than it is a religious celebration celebrating this Christian saint. And it is also Beltane Eve, and that has a lot in common then, as you might have put together about the bonfires, dancing, and singing. And in Celtic traditions, when we talk about these Sabbats, there are four on the Wheel of the Year, Beltane being one of them. It was generally started the eve before. So the day would be considered sundown on the 30th until sundown on May 1st. That would be the day of Beltane. So that is why the celebrations tend to start the evening before. So lines up with Walpurgisnacht. But Beltane is Celtic instead, and it specifically marks the midway point between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. Primarily observed in Scotland, Ireland, and Isle of Man, but obviously there are variations celebrated in other cultures as well, and it is one of the Sabbats on the Wheel of the Year, so lots of witches celebrate it even if they don't have a particularly Celtic practice, and even if they don't have a particularly Wiccan practice. It is a very popular holiday that is associated with fertility, growth, springtime, and then the coming of summer. So generally, people are celebrating the abundance of spring and then getting prepared for the growing season ahead. And I'll just get into some common traditions and rituals, but if you would like to know more, I have ebooks up on Patreon. The one for Beltane will be coming soon, in a couple of weeks. And I have all the ones from last year, and I'm doing new versions this year. So those are full of not just Sabbat information, but also spells, rituals, recipes, tarot spreads, journaling prompts, lots of information there to sort of fill out your Beltane celebration. So I have all kinds of specifically like spells and rituals that from easy to more complicated. So you can find all kinds of things to do for the Sabbath if you're looking for different ways to celebrate. But some common traditions The most common, of course, being the bonfire. Those are sort of the central aspect to Beltane celebrations because communities would come together and light these giant fires on hilltops, and then people would jump over the flames as a symbol of purification and also fertility. Maypole dancing is another huge one, iconic ritual, and that's, you know, the giant pole that is decorated with flowers and ribbons, and then the dancers will weave a pattern around it using those ribbons. It's usually accompanied by music and dancing, and that symbolizes the union of masculine and feminine principles, so another aspect of fertility. There's also the idea of the May Queen and the Green Man that are chosen to represent the fertility of the land, as the May Queen will symbolize youth and beauty, vitality, and the Green Man represents the spirit of the forest and that cycle of like growth and renewal. You might also see a lot of flower crowns and garlands, again, symbolizing the beauty of spring and the abundance. And then, of course, everything is all about the feasting. Beltane in particular is a very communal holiday, and I will have more on that on Patreon and YouTube as well, because I know a lot of listeners, and myself included, are very solitary practitioners, and Beltane and Leetha tend to be very communal celebrations, so it might seem more difficult for you to have a celebration and celebrate it in a solo way and still feel like you are honoring that Sabbath. And I get that. So I will have more information coming on that. But yeah, it is considered like the communal feast and dancing and these huge bonfires and people coming together to share food and drink and entertainment. But it does not have to be only that way. There's still like tons of different ways to celebrate it and celebrate nature and fertility and vibrant energy without having to have other witches around to help with that celebration, because I know that can be sometimes tough to find. So that is all of the information that I have to share for this April episode. So to circle back to what I said at the beginning, just some updates. Definitely follow along on Patreon and YouTube if you would like more information. I think YouTube, I will have a video coming either this Friday or next Friday, I can't remember, about spring, cleansing for spring, and then more updates about what has been going on. We definitely had a health scare with my dog, and that led to like a rough couple of weeks of like lots of stress and lots of things going on. And then I talk a little bit about like other updates and podcast updates and like content updates and just like life in general. But I think it's something that a lot of people will understand and relate to. So if you aren't subscribed on YouTube, definitely do that, because I think that will answer a lot of questions or like give a lot of updates. Patrons that you already know, I already like discussed this on Patreon like months ago. So you already know all of the updates, but for anyone else listening that wants to know more about like my personal life and practice and what's going on, YouTube is the place to do that, or Patreon, of course. That is everything that I have for this episode. I will see you hopefully next week, or if not, then the week after. And like I said, Mercury retrograde, so the content for April is up in the air, but hopefully going to get enough things scheduled this week and finalized so I don't have to worry about the implications of Mercury and what is going on during that month. Hopefully everything will be prepared ahead of time. That's everything for this episode, and I will see you all in the next one.
Need even more witchcraft in your life? Subscribe to Witch Wednesdays on Patreon and YouTube for all types of exclusive bonus content like spells, recipes, book reviews, and more, or even order personalized tarot readings and spells. Be sure to follow on Instagram at Witch Wednesdays Podcast. You can find all these links and more at witchwednesdays.com.